What is happening, people? Welcome to the General Banter Podcast on today, that is Tuesday, the 14th of March. It's 8 in the morning, the sun is shining through the window. It actually feels less depressing than it has done for about fucking 6 months. You're welcome. This podcast sponsored by Beer 52. Don't skip through this, you son of a bitches. If you don't know what Beer 52 is, it's a subscription beer service that sends craft beer to your house when you subscribe to it. The reason I advertise on this podcast is because listeners of this podcast get £10 off their first box if they order it with the code BANTER10. So just order the beer, enter the code BANTER10, get a tenner off your first box, and they send you out, like, I think it's 8 or 10, it's probably 10 beers out to your house, and they're all different and they're all super strong, and you get to taste them all with your mates and be like, isn't that amazing? And then next minute you're absolutely chinned. Delicious. They're different every month. Every beer in the thing is different, so it's very exciting. If you want a craft beer sent to your house, beer52.com, enter the code BANTER10. That's it. That's all you had to listen to, guys. Kept that short and sweet, didn't I? Short and fucking sweet. Important gig. In fact, fuck it. Do you know what we'll do? Let's just start it properly. Let's get the intro playing. Let's get us all on the vibe. I'll take a sip of green tea like an absolute fucking vegan twat.
The General Banter Podcast with Colin Jettis.
Right about you, baby. I want you to get yourself and your soul together. This man will make your liver quiver. This man will make your bladder splatter. Let's all welcome the world's godfather of soul.
Colin Jettis.
It's Jettis, actually.
Jettis.
Jettis.
Jettis. Jettis. Jettis.
Fuck you.
Yeah, boy.
There you go. There's the intro. Let me give you some important gig dates here because, you know, why else do I do this podcast? Listen up to these, because if you're around, it will be great to see you at one of these gigs. The 15th, which is tomorrow, is Lavery's Comedy Club, okay? Lavery's Comedy Club tomorrow. We're doing like a pre-St. Paddy's Day fucking storytelling show. So basically, all the comedians are going to tell stories based on themes such as, you know, drunkest story ever, just taking a shite in public, near-death experience, all that sort of stuff. It's going to be a lot of fun. Let's keep it pumping. 17th and 18th of March, we're in London. St. Paddy's Day is sold out. There is a few tickets left for the London gig on the 18th, which is the Saturday, which I actually thought would have suited a lot of people a lot better, you know, if you worked in London. If you're in London, tell everyone you know that we're doing. I don't know how many tickets are left for the Saturday, but the place only has 80 seats, so if you're going to get one like fuck. It's in the Museum of Comedy. Go to the Museum of Comedy website and just look for, you know, the gigs that are happening on the 17th and 18th, and I'm sure you'll get a ticket. And another exciting announcement, the 24th of March, okay, Lavery's Comedy Club is doing its first ever Friday show. As I readjust this mic, first ever show they're doing on a Friday. I've had people ask for a long time, like, are you ever going to do a weekend gig because we can't make the Wednesday and we'd love to come down, can't get there on a Wednesday, all this shit. So the first Wednesday or the first Friday show is on the 24th of March, goddammit. And our headliner is John Colleary, who's been on The Savage Eye. He's been on a pile of shit. I think he was one of the main writers on The Savage Eye. He's funny as fuck. Arguably the best comedian in Ireland. Not my words, the words of other comedians that I've heard say that. So there you go. He's super funny. Who's supporting him? Sean Hegarty. King of the one-liners. Hashtag, aka Rodney. He's doing a set. He's doing support for that. And I will be emceeing. So how about that? Let me sip more green tea. It said on the box, hey, drink your greens. And I don't know whether we're like, drink your green tea, or are you trying to tell me that that's the equivalent of like having a fucking, you know, like a bag of spinach? Don't worry about eating spinach, dudes. Just drink this fucking minty green tea that tastes like someone's like fucking just saliva after they brush their teeth. Vaguely minty and warm. Disgusting. Disgusting. I'm going to make a point of making this podcast under an hour today because I have to go to Belfast and shoot with Shane Todd for BBC's Tight Shorts. So we're doing another what do you call them, Chad and Courtney, sort of American style guys video. So I have to leave in a little while, so this will be less than an hour. But hey, go back through the vault there and listen to, did a podcast the other day with the dudes from the Fellowship podcast, who are three guys from Lurgan who do a podcast and have done for quite some time. And they were like, can we do a show? And I was like, or can we do a podcast? And I was like, yeah, the only place I could fucking guarantee that it was going to be was at this OMA show. So I was like, yeah, just fucking come on down. We'll do a podcast beforehand. And then you come in and see the show. And then what we did was we recorded the podcast and, yeah, we recorded the podcast and, sorry, I've just been heavily distracted by something. Did the podcast, and then I was like, come on, see, I was going to make sure you're on the list here, the guest list. And they were like, oh no, we bought tickets. And I was like, what the fuck did you do that for? Why on earth would you buy tickets? You silly bitches. There's an ad here for Casey Neistat. Is doing an ad for Samsung, but I don't know if I could be fucked watching that right now. ADD all over the shop today, guys. Look at the sun coming in here. This is unbelievable. I know this is an audio podcast, but I nearly might just take my trousers off. Imagine that became the thing. You know, like people were really into just tanned legs. You know, they were like, as soon as the sun came out, that's me. Down to my pants. Anyway, let me talk you briefly through the weekend. I may have mentioned it in the last podcast, but I think I did one with Aaron as well. You can go back and listen to that while he coughs his fucking head off during the whole podcast. But it was, what day did we do that podcast? What day was that? I don't know, but I think we were pretty fucking hungover. Was that the day we filmed at We Are Vertigo or something? Oh, he was absolutely dying. We managed to squirt out a podcast. Let me tell you what happened over the weekend. It was Mickey Bartlett's birthday on the Friday there. And what we did was we went up to Derry and he had a comedy roast for his birthday. The party went from this is going to be a secret to he definitely knew it was happening. There was a few surprises up the sleeve. He knew there was going to be a roast because there was a giant fucking crown, or not a crown, a throne, and he was going to sit on that and everyone was going to roast him. But what happened was we got up to the hotel and it just became very real to me. Like, I was like, oh fuck, I got nervous like it was a gig, you know what I mean? I was like, I'm actually gonna have to fucking write jokes here. So I got into the fucking, hotel and I was like, I'm going to have to write fucking jokes here. In fact, even before that, we pulled up in Derry and I was like, I wonder, can you park in the hotel of the Maldron Hotel we were staying in? Because it was right on the corner of where Mickey's party was. And I was like, I went in and I was like, is there, can you park in that thing or have you to pre-book that? And she goes, it's actually just first come, first serve, but it's full up. And I was like, fuck. Fuck's sake. And then so we tried to find a parking space and we did find one and we found it beside a man who was pissing. This is the guy pissing in Derry, and he was like, it looked like he was on the way back from work, you know, he was wearing like a black coat and, you know, he had a backpack on and whatever and headphones, like he was walking home from work. And he was, you know, how badly do you need to piss? We were just like, I know I'm, you know, feet away from bars and various other establishments that would have a toilet, but I'm going to have to just piss right here against this wall. Unless he's just like, you know, maybe you live in Derry and you're like, I'm a bit too comfortable here. You know, I'll piss wherever I want. Let me just pull out my dick and piss in the street here. And on Magazine Street, you know, in Derry, which is very steep and has the nerve centre on it. So that piss just ran right down into the town. It probably ran right down into the fucking river, you know. It's such a fucking steep street. Just a weird thing, just to be stopping pissing right there. It was a weird. I mean, there are more secluded areas to piss even on that street, and he was just like, "Let me just piss kind of here." Very weird. I remember one time. You know, you remember the dicks that you see when you're a kid. I remember. Where were we? Nuts Corner Market, right? I don't even know geographically where that is. I think it's near the airport somewhere. Belfast International Airport. And there used to be a big... I think there still is a market on a Sunday, but I think it was just always shite. And I remember going up there. Well, I remember two things. There was some sort of, generically foreign guys that you couldn't quite put my finger on when I was, you know, the age I was. Some guys speaking a different language, and they were, quite dark skinned, quite Middle Eastern looking fellas. You know, I'm 10 or so, I don't know what the... There's only white people in Northern Ireland. Even to this day, there's predominantly only fucking white people. And everyone's like, people coming over here. I mean, maybe that's the problem. Maybe people are just angry that people moving over here aren't beautiful brown people. You know? Mix it in, guys. Crossbreed. Get some mixed race people up in this place. You know? Throw a ginger fat girl with a hot black dude. See what happens. I'll be honest, this is a freaky thing to say. We were flying back from Thailand, and there was a woman on the... She looked like a model. She was about 6 foot, super slim, had strawberry blonde hair, barely any eyebrows. You know, they got one of those ones. She's like so fucking like just pale, and but then she'd obviously been bucking a fucking Thai fella, because she had this baby that was like a fucking alien. I swear to God, me and Maureen were just staring at this baby like a couple of fucking weirdos. She's going, look at that baby. That is it's very cute, but also very strange. It was like ginger and dark with blue eyes. It was fucked up. Super fucked up. What was I talking about? Oh yeah, anyway, these dudes that were all talking to each other in some language, and then it was raining that day, and they poked the lid of their fucking stall, which was collecting rainwater, and the rain went up everywhere and landed on me, and I was like, how do you expect me not to be racist my whole life? Nothing really, but I just remember the huge injustice of being soaked with water. And these boys laughing. I was like, listen, I'll go up round the back of this market where they sell people stolen tools out of fucking work vans, and I will come back here and break your fucking knees, bitch, if you don't have my mini donuts ready, you piece of shit. But anyway, same day, to get round to the dick story, same day, I just remember we got in the car, and I think we went back to the car early, and waiting on my dad to come back from somewhere, and there was a stall selling booze, probably stolen again, probably illegal booze. And this guy came up and it's that questioning of like, why did you decide to piss here? Of all the places you could have pissed, you're going to piss here. And he pulls his dick out, big, and when you're a kid, you're like, Jesus, look at his big angry dick, you know? You're like, fucking hell, big angry dick on him. And he starts violently pissing. Just against like a fucking, you know, like one of those little small Citroen car. It was like a Citroen fucking A something. And it was, do you remember when cars used to, like the paint jobs on them were kind of shite, and the sun would have faded it? So it was like a red car initially, and then it went down to like a pink. Fucking right. So like he's pissing on this red car, and the piss was making the car sort of go a darker red, as if it was made out of like fabric. It's very weird. But again, maybe he looked around and was like, I'll not piss on the Audi or... do I piss on the Ford Mustang? No, hold on a second. Oh, wait a minute. Fuck it. I'll just piss on the Citroen. I'm sure even the owner of the Citroen's going to be like, here, piss away. It needed a fucking wash anyway. Very weird. Very weird where people decide to piss. I've pissed in some strange spots myself, probably. I mean, thank fuck for being a male, you know?
Having a dick doesn't necessarily mean you're a male.
What can you say these days? Like, I read something like that recently. What was the quote? What did it say? Oh yeah, having a vagina doesn't make you a female or something. And you're like... Like, speak to fucking David Attenborough or something, or some fucking high-end doctor, and they're like, having a vagina doesn't mean you have to be a woman, and you're like, oh god, what are you talking about, you fucking maniac? Don't make me get back to the transgender video. Don't ask me what bathroom I'm going to, okay? It's none of your business. It doesn't matter what bathroom I'm going to. Sometimes it does, you know? Sometimes it does matter what fucking bathroom you're going to. You know? I've taken shits in urinals. People weren't happy. You know? So anyway, in Derry, greeted with the pisser, the Derry pisser. I wish I could do a Derry accent now. That would have been a great character, just to arrive in Derry and watch a man piss. Especially, you know, in this country when most times it's cold enough to see the steam off your own piss. I mean, that's good crack, you know, dodging your own piss steam. I saw a woman actually one time, I think it was in Cookstown. I was with Maureen there and she was picking up her sister and a girl had just pulled up her skirt and was pissing on the floor and it was so cold that there was like steam rising up around her as if she'd pissed on like, you know, she was putting out like a campfire. And the steam was just flying up around the outside of her. And then her mate kicked her, that's right. Her mate like booted her up the hole. Tell you what, guys, I feel sick after that green tea. Ugh, Jesus Christ. So Mickey had his birthday, and we go in. The band, the Bonnevilles, were playing, who me and Mick are huge fans of, and he's such a dickhead that he didn't even fucking recognise them. And a time that he'd seen them before, I think he was really drunk, so he probably couldn't pick them out of a fucking lineup if he tried. So they were standing at his party, getting ready to play, and Mickey was kind of a bit like, "Who are these fucking guys crashing my party?" And then once the roast was over, the comedy roast, you know, Louise, his girlfriend, was like, so the Bonnevilles are playing? And Mickey's like, fuck off, I just thought there was a bunch of fucking weirdos standing over there. They're not weirdos at all, they're very lovely people. You know, drinks. This is the type of asshole I am. Sometimes I'll have enough drinks where I'm talking to, like, Andy, the guy from Bonnevilles, and he's like, oh, I can't drink whiskey and all, it just fucking kills me. And I'm like, alright, then let's drink whiskey. Oh, by that you mean would you just drink whiskey immediately then? No bother. Here's some whiskey. So I drank a lot of whiskey and drank a lot of Guinness, and then we all danced around like dickheads, and then we ended up back in the hotel room, just me and Maureen, and for some reason she had a giant Tupperware box full of pasta, because obviously it was a private party, like, so a lot of Mickey's family had brought like their own food, and fucking there was a ham and there was like lasagna and all that shit. Ordinarily I'd have been all over, but sometimes it's just like, oh, you've caught me at a bad time where all I want to do is drink. Can you bring me this tomorrow? I'll eat a full lasagna in bed. In fact, that's what Louise, his girlfriend, said. She's like, I don't know what's wrong with me, I fucking went home and just ate like a full fucking pasta bake or something. Oh, unbelievable. But it was so funny as we auntie come up, his ma has about 8 sisters, that's probably a lie, probably about 3. But she come up to me and just like, if you say anything about our Mickey, I'm going to headbutt you. And I was like, cool. You can take the girl out of Portadown, but fuck me. But it was all right. Luckily, I had shit myself. Much like a lot of events that I take part in, I freak out last minute and be like, is anybody going to take responsibility for this being any good? You know, like Lavery's or anything. Panic last minute. Is anyone else going to get people to this gig? Is anyone else going to fucking try and make this happen? So I got to the hotel room and I fucking started churning out jokes about Mickey, which, I'll be honest with you, the state of Mickey, you're able to fucking, once you get the ball rolling, you're absolutely flying. I wrote about 3 pages of fucking like one-liners and then came down to the thing and I was speaking to Connor Keyes and Aaron McCann, and he's like, oh, did you do anything for this? And I was like, I pulled out these pages, and Connor Keyes was like, fuck you, hey. Because he's like, I don't know, I was just going to wing it. And I was like, nah, mate, you got to make sure it's on paper, or else, you know, it's just not going to fucking work. But yeah, some of the jokes, oh my God. I actually have the audio of it here, but I'm going to put it in a vlog so you can watch that shit. You know, just the standard Mickey jokes, you know, like, Mickey, your face looks like corned beef. Would you drink some fucking water, you know? Anytime Mickey drinks water, it's if it accidentally rains on his fegs. And things like that, you know, went down a storm with his ma. You know, I said Mickey recently got a dog. And he said to me, oh, Colin, it's like having a baby. And I said, well, then stop breastfeeding it and it'll be more like having a dog. Things like that, you know, killing it, absolutely killing it. Felt like Bernie Mac up there. You know, I said, you know, at the end there, I was like, oh, you know, Mick, we have to, you have to end these things on a positive note. And I was like, you're really, like, you know, without a doubt, the best comedian in Northern Ireland. And everyone cheered. And then I said, which sounds good, but it's like saying you have the biggest dick in the room and you're in a creche. Oh man, that stormed it with his aunties and grannies and whatnot. Fucking killed it, bro. Killed it, absolutely killed it. I wish every set I did was a slagging of Mickey Bartlett, but unfortunately, you know, you can't do that. But it will be in a vlog in terrible quality. I'll have to subtitle it or something. It's fucking just not good, just not good. And then the next day, of course, absolutely full dying. I mean, I went to stretch there without drinking, but I feel like I'm going to have to bring it back and, you know, do another wee stretch because that nearly fucking killed me. Did that night, blocked, walked around, had some fucking, you know, breakfast. It was a chicken burger with tobacco onions on it. But, you know, we're all hanging. So we go there and then we drive to Oma and stay in that, fuck me, stay in that hotel. Full dying, by the way, to the point where I was like, I need to go to sleep. I will lie down on the floor right now and sleep. And we did lay down in this hotel room, which was fucking roasting. You know, one of those ones where it's like, well, it's mainly owl people stay here, so of course it's 42 degrees in the room. And I was lying there just tossing and turning, couldn't sleep at all. And then had to get up and go and do the podcast with the fellowship guys. But I was fucking dying. Like, I remember watching this thing one time, and they're like, oh, a hangover, you know, they say you're dehydrated, but you can rehydrate yourself fairly quickly. There's like, the reason you feel like shit is because it's like a withdrawal of alcohol. And I was literally like, see, fuck me. By the way, I was running so late. We went for pizza. There was it was the fattest fucking weekend ever. We went for pizza, and it just took ages. And the gig was supposed to start at 9. And I had to text Mickey and be like, can you fucking MC? Because I will not be back in that hotel before 9. And he's like, okay. So we rush back to the hotel. I'm literally, which sounds like, you know, one of my life dreams. I'm literally trying to iron a fucking t-shirt for this gig. Iron a polo shirt in my boxers while I'm eating pizza. You know, it sounds like a comedian's dream. But at the time, it was pretty fucking stressful. So at that, went down and just dying. You know what I mean? Just full fucking dying when we got there. Chrissy Bowes, who ran Daly's Comedy Club and who was running this gig, is like, what do you want to drink? And I was like, I'm going to have to just go like whiskey. Like, I'm going to have to just drink quick, swift drinks. So I was like, get me a whiskey, pour a bit of water in it so that it seems a bit more like a drink rather than a shot. And just sipped a bunch of them. But by the time I went on stage, I was like, I probably had about fucking 5 of them and a pint. And I was like, only now do I feel remotely normal. Which is, it's worrying, the fact that the night before you can get fucking dicked, and then the next day you're like, can I drink nearly as much again for me to feel just as if I'm not going to have a fucking heart attack right now? Unbelievable. Unbelievable scenes. But the room was packed out, and it was a great, great fucking audience, to be honest. They were very patient, because the night did run on like fuck. And by the time I got on, it was pretty late. But they seemed very attentive, you know. It was funny because Kieran Bartlett went up, and he's notoriously just a fucking, you know that term. He's Marmite. Either don't like it or you think it's disgusting. that's not what people say, but that's what they say about him. He's very divisive. Either you like really, really fucking harsh comedy, or you're some uppity woman who fucking hates it. They're uppity woman. I mean, there was this woman in the crowd who, she'd obviously had a few fucking gins. So the more he said, the more she just came out of nowhere. He said something on stage, and she just said something like, unrelated to anything, you know. He was like, blah, blah, fucking whatever. And she goes, it's black magic, not just magic or something. And he's like, what? It's black magic. And then he's like, what the fuck is going on here? And then she just kept saying stupid things like, what sort of comedian needs a guitar or something? And you're like, listen, what the fuck are you talking about, you maniac? So anyway, he got laid into her, which was inevitable, calling her all the fucking stupid cunts of the day. And let me just sip this greens. That is fucking... This is rank. He got laid into her, and then he came off stage, and I was talking to him, and she came up. She's wearing like a fur. You know what girls wear those now? It's like a body warmer, but it's made out of fur. And she came up, and she was like, can I just give you some feedback? And Kieran goes, no. She goes, well, I didn't really care what your answer was there. I'm going to tell you it anyway. And she's like, I think you're very arrogant. And he goes, so? Like, I mean, it's fair enough. She feels angry that she probably heckled and didn't really think about it and was drunk and actually felt like a dickhead after she heckled. But he's like, let me just tell you something. You're very arrogant. And he's like, I don't care. She goes, yeah, you're all fuck, 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 fuck. And he just kept saying, I don't care. I don't care. I don't care. I'll not be back to see you. I don't care. He's just like, I don't give a fuck. And then I'm standing there, like, you know, between them, like, with my head back against the wall, like, oh, fuck, I was about to kick off here. She looked like this sort of fucking maniac would just go like, blah, blah, I'm a bit drunk and I can't quite get my fucking point across here. And I'm just going to get so enraged that I'm just going to throw this fucking gin and tonic at you. Which over a fucking comedy gig, I mean, why, you know, if you're that annoyed and you know there's five comedians on, definitely just shut the fuck up for 3 minutes till he's off. And now you've dragged it out to seven, you know. But she says, you're very arrogant. Da, da, da. And I'm like, I've got my head out of the way just in case there's digs thrown here. And then she, just as she left, she was like, Colin, I think you're very good. But, and I was like, ugh, why did you have to do, why did you have to say that at the end? And I just went, all right. And then she didn't really open her mouth the rest of the time, which was hilarious. But then I think she was a psychopath because I was talking to this other couple and the girl from the couple, the blonde girl, said, she goes, I was in the toilet and I washed my hands and went over to the hand dryer and it went and came on. And that the same heckler woman hit her on the back and was like, can you be quiet, please? I'm trying to have a conversation. So the girl used the fucking hand dryer in the toilet and this other lunatic was like, will you shut up? I need to listen to what the... What is it about this? I mean, don't get me... All drunk people are fucking idiots. I nearly had to fucking smack some other cunt. There's two... obnoxious men, when they're drunk, like, just need... You know, like, almost like someone just to pull a fucking sack over their head and tie it and just take them away and drop them in a bin somewhere. They just need scooped up and removed without any sort of argument whatsoever because they're just stubborn as fuck. There's this dude come in, he's like a big fucking, like, sniffing's ridiculous, like a big culty fucking, you know, used to play GA back in the fucking day, but now he's a bit fatter. And he comes bundling into this residence bar and he goes, get your hat, lad. And he went to grab my hat and I just grabbed his wrist and I was like, no. And he goes, nah, I'm going to need the hat, lad. And I was like, you're going to fucking need a fucking ambulance if you don't take your hands off me. And then he made this lunge a bit, like, to sort of come forward. And I had to push him quite hard. I was like, at this point, I wasn't even drunk. I just drank enough to make me feel okay. And this guy was blocked. And I was like, don't come over here acting like a cunt, then get angry because I don't like the way you're acting. You know? I was like, is this guy going to make me fucking, like, get into a fight here just because he's being a cunt? It fucking drives me mad. And I don't know what it is about stealing hats. Like, I like wearing hats, you know what I mean? I've even when I was younger, I had tons and tons of hats. And they're not free, I'll tell you that. You know what I mean? And people are always like, give us a hat, lad. And you're like, give me your fucking shoes or something. You know, why the fuck, why do you think you can just take, it's like sunglasses, or give me your glasses. No. Get your own fucking glasses, you tramp. No, I'm a drunk girl, I have the right to anything, give me it. No, you don't. Let me take your hat. Someone tried to do that. In fact, someone did that to me in Lavery's with a Carhartt beanie, which are, I don't know what they are, they're like 25 quid or something. Not that dear, but for a woolen hat, it's dear enough. And I had three drinks in my hand and someone just scooped it off my head and ran away. And I was like, you've like pickpocketed me of a fucking hat. Anyway, that cunt nearly get fucking just, and her just, you know, sometimes, like, sometimes you feel like, I would really love to just pull his head down and put him in like a guillotine. And like, before anyone would really see what was happening, you know, I would hope it would take maybe 10, 15 seconds before anyone would react. And by that stage, you would be unconscious and you could just drop him to the floor. They're the sort of thoughts go through your head. You're like, oh. And the same as this crazy fucking bitch.
No one's attending to my needs. I just need to be heard. Can you be quiet, please, to have a conversation here in the toilets?
I mean, you'd love to just turn around to her and be like, go somewhere else, you fucking retard. How about that? Don't stand in the toilet beside the fucking drying machine. Penis. I hate people like that. I fucking hate that. Oh, what's the word? Entitled? Is that the word? No wonder people get so fucking annoyed about entitled people.
No, sorry, I'm not having a good time.
You know, people at parties. I have to go home here because my girlfriend's not having a good time. Yeah, well, guess what? It's someone else's birthday, so fuck your girlfriend. How about that? You know what I mean? Unbelievable. Enragement. So, yeah, the gig was good. We did end up in that fucking residence bar, which, see, by that stage, you're like, you shouldn't be anywhere near a bar, you know? You're like, there is no need to be there. Oh, we've done by the way, I had half a pizza in the room, so I couldn't fucking think about anything. Twitter.com. Get some questions up. But yeah, it was a fucking sweet gig. End up in that residence bar. Rory Woods, fair play to him, was absolutely chinned. He can't hold his drink in the slightest, and it's fucking hilarious. And everyone kept buying him, you know, like, oh, we'll do Jaegers and all that shit. And, like, even in the residence bar, like, you've done a full night of drinking and you're in a residence bar and someone's like, oh, I'm going to buy fucking 18 Jaegers. And you're like, why? What? Like, why don't I just, you know, push a pen to the back of your throat now and you can barf? Disgusting. I don't know what sort of maturity I've grown into now, but, you know, catch me 5 years ago, I'd have been like, 18, what are you, wee fruit? Good 25. I can't drink that shit. It's fucking, oh, Jesus Christ. Yeah, and then next morning, met Woodsy for breakfast. And I'll be honest with you, he shrugged that hangover off pretty well. For a guy who, for about 2 hours of the night before, looked like he was just stifling bulk. You know what I mean? He was like, good lad, he's a good lad. Right, we may as well jump into some questions here because we need to keep this beneath an hour. So let's really do it. Made the mistake of trying to listen to the podcast and work. Picasso bag. Oh yeah, don't worry about it. Don't worry about it, Rick Miller. It's all motherfucking high class shit around here. Chris Reezy, the Lord of Darkness with the darkest questions ever. If someone you loved committed a gruesome murder, would you help them cover it up? I don't know. You don't know how you would react, do you? I mean, I remember hearing an argument. It might have been fucking Ricky Gervais or something. They're talking about death penalties and all. He's like, you know, you can't really have such a... just a fucking willy-nilly sort of approach to the death penalty. He's like, because you don't know, there's people take the blame for other people and they do things that they wouldn't normally do just to protect other people. So you can't be sure 100% that it's the person that you're fucking killing did it. Well, sometimes you can. Sometimes it's 100%. You can tell, you know, you can't tell that, but I don't know. Would I help cover it up? I don't know. If someone I knew was just an outright psychopath and they were like, oh, I just killed someone, why? And it was for some reason, you'd be like, well, yeah, go to jail immediately. No, I don't know if I would. That's the joys of being someone who only really loves about three people. Hey, being a heartless cunt and you don't really like anybody, yeah, I'm not covering up shit for anyone. Fuck that. I wouldn't expect someone to do it for me. Nah, fuck it. Nah, you kill someone, you gotta go to jail, bro. What are you trying to tell me, Chris? Your girlfriend out axe murdering people at night time? Tina, shady lady. Met her the other night. Can you just do a podcast in the BT call centre accent. I laughed so hard hearing that in real life. No, I think that would be deemed massively racist. I don't know why, though. You know, I tried to address that on the night. People do all sorts of accents, and people barely flinch until you move into the sort of... The further east you go, the more racist it is, you know what I'm saying? You could be sitting there like, hello, I'm Russian and all that shit. No one cares. I'm from Poland, whatever. Same accent, you know. I'm Italian. The terrible accent. You could keep moving across till you start to be like, hello, I am from whatever. And you're like, oh, mate, that's racist now. Thailand, when they're all shouting at each other. And all, whatever. The further east you go, the more racist it gets, basically. Even though it is a reality that a lot of call centres that you ring are in fucking India or something, you know? But you can't ever bring that up. What's your favourite part of performing live stand-up? When you what they call in the game, crush it, which happens, if you're lucky, about once a year, where you have, you know, almost like a flawless gig. You know, a gig that just feels like every fucking joke that you said got a laugh. And once, I have a weird sort of attitude to things like that, where it's like, I don't even know what the term perfectionist means. I don't know. But like, I would say that Oma gig for me, out of all the squad gigs, was the best one for me. And I was like, it was the most fun. I felt like I got a great reaction to all my material. And felt good, you know what I mean? Felt like a really enjoyable gig. I feel like everyone enjoyed themselves watching it, you know, judging by the laughter. But the problem is, anything less than that doesn't really fucking just even fucking tickle your pickle whatsoever. You know? That becomes your, like, normal, you know what I mean? That doesn't become an exception. You know, like, an excellent gig isn't like, oh my god, I'm so buzzing after that, let's go fucking party. That for me is like, oh no, that's how it should be. That's the way it should be. And then everything else just kind of isn't as satisfying, you know. And I don't want to, like, you know, show off or celebrate or fucking do anything when it is about as perfect as it can go. I just want it to be like that all the time and then be like, oh, that's normal now I can fucking relax a wee bit. Psychopath, I think it's called, but I'm not sure. How long is too long to spend in the toilet at work? Chris McCulloch. Fuck it, mate. Fuck it. Do whatever you want at work. You know what I mean? Like, do you know how hard it is to sack someone now? You know, I've heard stories of people working with people who were like complete fucking sociopath, bullying, you know, crazy people in these fucking psychological warfare type battles. And you're like, even when your whole workplace hates this cunt, you still can't just sack them, because then it starts the fucking ball rolling of, you know, that was, you know, unfair dismissal or whatever the term is. And, you know, it's a nightmare to fucking, like, I was talking to Maureen's sister one time. She was talking about working for this shop that made her do like a overnight turnaround it was a clothes shop. And she was like, yeah, they made you work. They read the hours out to her. And she's like, you know, that's like 16-hour. What was it? A 16-hour shift? She's like, yeah, that's like a 16-hour shift. And she goes, which isn't even really fucking legal unless you have a certain amount of breaks or some shit. Or else she read it up and it was legally like, you know, 13 hours or 14 hours or something. And I was like, see, in the grand scale of life, you know, the amount of shit I'd have walked out, and I was getting pretty good at it before I sort of moved into the comedy realm. There's plenty of shit I would have just fucking walked out of. And I did towards the end. You know, there's a couple of jobs I had where they were like, would you just like to review your annual fucking sales? And I was like, yeah, no you won't. I'm not even going to sit here and pretend to give a fuck about that, you know. I'm literally like 20 and don't give a fuck. Not in a punk way, but like, don't be breaking down my sales targets like it's important to me right now. Well, I think that bloody bloody bloody, yeah, I'm leaving. And they're like, what? You're some crack call. And I was like, nah, I don't want to even go through this. I'll just leave. in a TV company I worked in, just, you know, working away for absolute shit money, and then they'd be like, oh yeah, your contract ends, you know, in like a week or something. And you're like, oh, cheers for the heads up. Could have been looking for another job or whatever, but thanks, man. And then I would just be like, well, see you then. See you later. Just leave. In fact, I remember just finishing my work and fucking, I think I mentioned this in one of the last podcasts, I just left. And then one of the guys I work with, who now runs a pretty sweet company, shout out to Niall at Double Jump, motherfucker. He had to bring like my leaving fucking present around to the house. He's like, oh yeah, they bought you like champagne and chocolates and all. And I was like, all right, guess I'll not see them again anyway. Who gives a fuck? But you know what I mean? See all that shit as long as you want. Just tell me if diarrhea. How can they not prove it? Were you in the toilet so long? I was shitting, mate. Deal with it. You know, said a Maureen sister. I was like, I'd have just went, see if I was really fucking tired. I'd have just left. You know? Oh, you're supposed to be here for 16 hours. I'd be like, listen, dickhead. No one's working 16 hours, you fucking maniac. Overnight. Just be like, listen, I've worked 10. I'll see you later. You can walk out of shit. It's so hard for people to get rid of you. You know? And there's a million fucking jobs out there. So, like, don't worry about it. Unless you're, like, literally, like, a fucking pediatric surgeon or something. Get your fucking shit together, bro. And also, people like that should be making absolutely obscene money for what they're doing. That's the Twitter questions out the way. Let me just get through some of these questions. Alexandra McGovern. Is this just as funny as people throwing up? And it's cats being sick. I might save that one for the end, you know. Alex, let me, hold on, do I click this motherfucker? Oh my god, the internet is poor. This is a very relaxed podcast today, isn't it, guys? Zero energy. Maybe it's easier to listen to, I don't know, than... Cats being sick is funny as fuck, because they do just, like, throb till they barf. Fergal McGorman, Mayweather McGregor looking more and more likely now. That'll be some spectacle. It'll be fucking... I mean, it'll be good to witness that in your lifetime, but as an actual fight, I don't know how fucking exciting that's going to be, really, to be honest. I mean, I'm sure many MMA-style interviews or podcasts and all have talked about it at length, but I would say it's... They might do it for the crack, but, like, the overwhelming fucking thing in my head is, like, they're not remotely even the same size, you know? Yeah, they're, you know, fucking, I don't know what weight they're going to fight at. Like, McGregor, what is Mayweather fight at? Like, 145-ish or something like that, 146? And McGregor fought at 145 for a while, but he literally looked like he was... on hunger strike. I don't know. It's hard to fucking know. It's hard to know. I mean, he'd probably not touch Mayweather the whole fucking fight, but I doubt Mayweather would be able to, like, knock him out. Well, of course he can. I don't know. There is just a distinct chance that if McGregor lays a fucking hand on him, he's gonna go out the same way he fucking hits everybody. But then again, it'll be, what's a boxing glove? Like a 16-ounce glove or something? Be a bigger glove, so who knows. It's one of those things, like, just do it already, stop fucking talking about it. And even when they decide on it, it's going to be like, oh, they've signed contracts to fight, and it'll be fucking December or something. You'll have to wait for fucking ages. Lee McGlinchey, can we all drink beers together after Lavery's on Wednesday? Depends whether or not we're fucking staying up or not, I'm afraid. If we're driving, probably not, bro. Have you heard of Pint Man Paddy Losty? He can put away more than 30 in a day. Is this like a famous thing, or are you going to make me look up some bullshit right now? Looking up some bullshit, YouTube. Mm-mm. Is this just one of your fucking mates? Oh, he's some fucking idiot to you. Brian McGuire, have you heard about the podcaster vlogger Adam22 who has said he will do a porno with his girlfriend if his channel gets 1 million subscribers? What do you think of this, and how many subscribers would it take for you to do a porno? I don't know. I think I have about... How many have I got? Let me just check. My channel. My channel. I have 27,479. So, I don't know. Get me up to 30 and give me 20 quid. Pull this dick right out. I mean, do a porno. It's like, I think people underestimate how much work goes into a porno. You could be like, I'm going to do a porno, and then you watch it and it's full turd. You know? Me and Maureen were watching Broad City last night, and they mentioned that Colin Farrell had a sex tape, and I flicked that on. Of course, immediately. She's like, does he have a sex tape? And then I flicked it on. And you're like, even Colin Farrell, you know, he's a sexy dude, you know. He's with this girl who's absolutely banging. But, you know, he's like trying to self-shoot a porno type sex tape. And you're like, You know what I mean? You're like, if he can't make it look good, I doubt there's any hope for someone like me, you know. Who literally looks like someone painted a wino. Painted a rhino white, made it stand on its hind legs. I don't know. Let me see. Oh, fuck me. 10 million views. Good for me, eh? Pint Man. Paddy. Oh, it came up. This is a real thing. What the fuck? What the fuck is this? Hold on. Pint Man ready to... Hold on. Pint men ready themselves for the Euros.
So have you got your passport?
Yeah.
Is it in date?
I'd say so.
Have you done your packing?
No.
Jesus, Paddy, we're flying out first thing tomorrow morning, you know.
I did manage to get my hands on some franc, though, so we won't have to flute around trying to exchange the money over there.
The franc is gone, Paddy.
Ah.
They use Euro.
Ah, what a load of pox. Sure, I've had a load of the stuff hanging around the house for years.
I don't know what the fuck that is. Paddy lost his Pint Man Challenge, Volume 1. What the fuck is it?
Boss, I went home on a Monday night. As drunk could be. I saw a horse outside the door where my old horse should be. Well, I called me wife and I said to her, will you kindly tell to me who owns that horse outside the door where my old horse should be? Yeah, you drunk, you dumb, you silly, you devil, and still you cannot see. That's a lovely sound.
What the fuck have you made me look up here?
Well, it's when you need trouble.
What the fuck? Right, I don't know why that was a piss take question or what the fuck that was. I don't know. Some double... what the fuck? Maniac. Carl Ward, can you vlog teaching Aaron McCann how to ride a bike? Well, first of all, you're going to have to get some sort of reinforced bike to hold that cunt's head up. Yeah, I could. Yeah, why not? I mean, there's all sorts of vlogs could be done. There was talk of that comedians like grappling tournament, which would be hilarious, and I could referee it. Yeah, I mean, that would be funny. Yeah, do you know what? That's a good idea. I'm going to write that down. Vlog Aaron bike. Yeah, next time he's down. I think I don't have a bike, like, but girlfriend Maureen's dad has a couple of bikes, so we could throw him on a mountain bike and see if he can ride a bike. That's good crack. Just finished watching the film you recommended to watch, Don't Breathe, a very violent version of Blind Man's Buff. Did you laugh when he whipped out the old Thanksgiving turkey baster? I laughed and then I nearly barfed because when he... Basically, you know, spoiler alert, he captures this woman and he's going to impregnate her so that he has another daughter because his daughter was killed. And he turkey bastes a load of jizz. But it's like when he sucks it up, there's a hair in it. I think that's what nearly made me barf. I was like, oh God, there's a fucking hair in it. Oh my God, it's disgusting. But it's a good film though, isn't it, bro? Mm-hmm. Let me get some of these questions off the old Snapchat. What's the funniest story you have with Aaron McCann or Conor Begley? Funniest? Fuck me. These things always put me on the spot a wee bit, because it's always like, I don't know, he just seemed to get pished a lot. I don't know about funny. You know, I don't know really about funny, though. Begley, what's he done? I don't know. There's a whole pile of shit. I think there was one night we watched the fights. I mean, none of these are really that funny. Though I would really need to sit down and figure out which one was the funniest. There was one day, I think Begley was out doing something, and he came back to our house after a night out because we were staying up for the fights. And he was blocked, and he ran. We have a toilet down. I have a toilet in this wee office here, and he ran from the living room through and just boked all over the place, and then barfed in the toilet. And at least, like I said to him, he had the decency to barf up like, you know, luminous orange sick, so that we could spot it when we were cleaning it up. I don't know. I don't know about funny stories. Like, I don't know. We'll figure some out. We're going to London this St. Paddy's Day. We'll see what the fuck happens. Has anyone ever offended you? And if so, how? Nah. The only thing offends me is it's never anything anybody says. Well, it is. That's mainly what you get offended at. But, like, when people are trying to be offensive and they say really rough things, that never offends me. Things that offend me are, like, things that are really fucking stupid or like terrible, just like terrible logic. That would offend me. I don't know, it's hard to know right now. I'm very rarely do I feel offended. Also, fuck being offended, you know what I mean? People bring things up on a daily basis in front of you that you're maybe slightly uncomfortable talking about. You don't get offended, you just fucking just deal with it, you know? I'm offended. So, what's being offended gonna do to you? If you went somewhere and they were like, "Oh, a comedian said something," I was offended. It doesn't mean you're like have to go to the doctor and be unoffended or anything. You just fucking leave, and it's gone forever. Go somewhere else. I shouldn't have to. Like, I'm pretty sure there was someone kicked off about Tom Stead being rebooked at Queen's, and like this rape apologist. It's been booked at Queen's, and you know, are they looking profit? They care more about profit than they care about the well-being of rape survivors at Queen's and all this here shit. And you're like, you're talking about Tom Stead? He's a fucking comedian. Apparently the joke that he did at the time, and by the way, everyone's saying apparently, because I'm pretty sure people were fucking giving off about his last gig and they weren't even at it. You know, and it's like, oh, he's making rape jokes. Apparently the joke was about he had two hamsters and one of them kept raping the other one. Right? And you're like, you know, speak to Attenborough. You know, speak to David Attenborough about a lot of things. Every fucking thing in nature is rape. It's like that Louis C.K. bit. Everything's getting raped, if you want to talk like that. You know, there's no animal sitting there like, come into bed, baby, you know, and it's sexy lingerie ready for it. It's not, it's usually being bitten in the back of the neck so it doesn't go anywhere and rid. it's brutal as fuck, you know, and I don't know the joke, but I'm sure everyone fucking laughed their head off because he's a master comedian, and he's also a really nice guy, like drives me mad. People are like, oh, he's a comedian, he vaguely made a joke about it. And you're like, yeah, but he is, you know, he's joking. Everything else he said that night was a joke. And so was that. You know, Tom Stead's a very nice fucking family man. He's not going like, let me go out and fucking do rape jokes to everybody so that they're fucking pissed off. It's fucking unbelievable. Unfucking believable. By the way, no one's out fucking blogging or picketing about rapists as much as they're out doing it about comedians, which makes me fucking laugh. Well, that comedian's the worst in the world, really? Why don't you fucking spend all your day writing about, you know, how terrible actual fucking rapists are? You know, there's a big fucking difference between someone making a joke about some like animals doing that to each other and comparing that to like the real, you know, horrendous violence of a real fucking rape. It drives me fucking mad. Let me move on to another fucking lighthearted question after that cloud of shite. Listen to Stephen Lynch, Special Olympics. Would you ever consider a gig similar to his style of comedy? What do you mean? Here we go. Is this another fucking fruitless task here? Stephen Lynch, Special Olympics. Oh, this must be his famous bit about Special Olympics. Special Olympics. Oh, is he like? Is he one of these fucking stink like singer songwriter fucking knobheads? Here we go.
I hate this song. Can I just start off by saying I hate this song?
A lot of fuzz going on in this video, sorry.
I don't know. I think I was wasted and it just seemed funny at the time, and now I look back and I go, what the fuck was I thinking? But it seems to follow me around wherever I go, so I always end up having to do it at the end of the night. This is the first worst song that I've ever written right here. Watch them run, watch them fall, watch them try to catch a ball. Olympics, Special Olympics. I hate myself. Watch them laugh, watch them drool, watch them fall into the pool that's diving. The Special Olympics. And I know full well that I will burn in hell. But those guys playing the wheelchair basketball gotta be about the funniest fucking thing I've ever seen in my life. Where? At the Special Olympics.
I will see you in hell, my friends.
Oh, I don't like why everyone sings along.
Like, I think they're here tonight. That's one big fucking little yellow bus that pulled up. As if that weren't bad enough, I did write a second verse.
Oh, you fucking like rabble cunt. Isn't this gold
here? Kid with Downs wins the race, even though he stood in place.
Man. My shoes still hurt.
Round his neck, gold medals hung, resting on his giant tongue. But I kid when I sing, these games are a beautiful thing. Okay. Really, I'm just trying to avoid karma because I know my kids will be born blind, crippled, semi-retarded. I'll spend all of my time where at the
Special Olympics.
People
are rocking in their seats.
Thank you. Good night, everybody.
Okay. Yeah, I don't know. Like, again, it's funny that the question of, like, do you ever get offended at anything? So this guy's like, listen to Stephen Lynch, Special Olympics. Would you ever consider a gig similar to his style of comedy? Not really, man, because, first of all, I don't play the guitar and sing songs. And also, I don't really like that type of comedy. You know what I mean? I like stand-up comedians doing material. And if, I don't know, like, it's not that I'm offended by that, but I'm just like, what the fuck was the point in that? You know what I mean? Like, you know what I mean? It's like, there's certain things don't really need laughed at, you know, and Special Olympics is one of them, probably, you know? I'm struggling to articulate why that annoyed me, but it wasn't. I mean, joke about whatever you want, but it's just like, there's not any need for that, really. You know, making jokes about Down syndrome people and whatever. I mean, there's ways to do it, but I feel like writing a song where people are swaying in their seats, like, Special Olympics. You're like, what sort of fucking dickhead are you? And what sort of crowd of retards do you have? You see what I've done there? I've called them retards. But that's because I'm an evolved person. And retard to me does not mean what you think it traditionally means. There you go. That's the new meaning of retarded. If you're going to sit and watch a singer song. By the way, imagine sitting through a set of that shit. Here we go. Song 15. This one's called Special. What sort of shit? That's, you know. Let me sing some fucking comedy songs. He's got one called Special Ed there as well. So he loves making fun of the old spazzers. Are his songs called like Special Ed, Special Olympics, you know, Big Tongue, Yellow Bus, all the classics. Thoughts of Northern Ireland becoming independent from UK and the Republic and becoming the Republic of Northern Ireland. I mean, I've said that for a long time. You know, there's people up here would consider themselves Irish, but you go down south and they still think you're a Nordy cunt. You know, there's people who are from Northern Ireland who think they're super British and Northern Irish, and they go to England and you're still a paddy cunt. You know what I mean? So Northern Ireland seems to be this, like, the middle of a Venn diagram that almost could exist by itself, although it would probably get bullied big style for all the size of it. Ever consider selling merch? I do have merch, mate. It's just that I have a website that needs rebuilt that I haven't fucking done in quite some time. And girlfriend Maureen gives me shit about it all the time. I also would mind doing a new range of, what do you call that shit? General Banter hoodies. Best question you'll get. Holy Lands Friday. No, I'll be in England, bro. Going to Holy Lands today, though, to film, so suck my day. Podcast question. Can you see the comedy scene in Northern Ireland getting bigger than it already is? And if so, how much? It could definitely get bigger, yeah. It's just that people aren't used to seeing comedy over here. You know, they're only sort of... fuck me. I hate getting into these conversations. The only way people watched comedy before was like, oh, you've seen a comedian get a spot on TV, and then you're like, here's your man from a TV, and then he goes and plays like some room in your fucking local town, and you go see him. And now it's a bit different because... the comedians that are drawing crowds, for example, Lola's on Saturday, where there's like a sold out fucking room, you know, with about 300 people in it, there to see a bunch of dudes who, you know, well, I've been on TV a bit, but not enough that people would recognise me from TV. Mickey, probably the same, you know. People are coming out because of work you've done on the internet or podcasting or videos or whatever. They're coming out to see you because of the stuff you've done yourself rather than the sort of traditional media type shit you'd be doing. Yeah, I could say, I think it could grow rightly, but it's probably down to, like, like I have a bit of a fucking foot in the door, sort of, and then it does help if, say, I make like a fucking Buckfast video for Ar McCann and it gets 500,000 hits, and then people sort of know who Ar McCann is now. You know, it's like making people aware of more than just a small group of people, so that you can run a successful comedy club, or you can have people come to gigs over and over again because they know a lot of the people who are on. It could get bigger, yeah, certainly. Favorite UFC fighter, and shout out Ryan Jenkins. All right, mate. Favorite UFC fighter of all time or just now? Favorite fighter of all time, probably BJ Penn. Just like him, you know, animal. Any chance of a show in Armagh? Yeah, I've gigged in Armagh a few times, bro. There's no name here. And the last one I did was a fucking horrendous nightmare. So that put me off from going back, if I'm being completely honest with you. So there you have it. It was just so shite that I just wouldn't go back. It was just, I don't know, it was just full of cunts. And it was in a theatre too, and that's what annoys me about theatres. It's like, if you pull a camera out, they'll dump tackle you to the floor and be like, you can't take photos in here. Whereas if you fucking talk through the whole thing, ordering drinks all loud and all, people will just let you walk away. So I would go back, but it would be against my will. If you could kick out any member of the comedy squad, who would it be and why? I don't know. The comedy squad isn't even a real fucking thing, really. It's just the name of a gig, and it can flux. It can like, it can just change as and when I fucking decide. That sounds terrible, but you know what I mean. Like, it's like it doesn't really matter. You know, it's just whoever fucking is available on the night. Who would a kick out? Woodsy, absolute cunt. Want a fag? That's not a good question. How was it like living in Belfast? It was all right, mate. How was it like living in Belfast? It was, what? I mean, I lived on just the outskirts of it most of my life, and then lived in the city centre for a good few years. So it's fine. Is that it? That's it, guys. What a shit question to end on. Let's lighten this mood with some cats barfing to techno. Courtesy of Alexander McGovern here. Let me see. Yes, 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 yes. Poke, 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 poke. Hit me. It's funny because they do sort of pulsate to the beat. And they'll have their tongues out a wee bit, which is hilarious. Humans don't really do that. This one's going in a circle and barfing. Humans don't really do that sort of pulsating, like, or do they? Oh yeah! Look at the way they've got their tongue out too, that's really cute. It's funny because they... Oh, this one's going to poke on the other one. That one poked on the other one. It's funny because they really squirt the poke out too, you know? Just... Bark. Oh, it just shoots out. That's a skill I envy. Because they sort of go like... And then just... It flies out of them. Not like a human, you know, just like, it's all down your front and whatever. I mean, I'll be honest with you, that made me feel sicker than watching humans being sick. Isn't that weird? Here's a BuzzFeed video, people who hate cats meet kittens. I mean, I hate cats, but no one ever was like, kittens are cunts. Kittens are cute to look at, you know what I'm saying? I remember seeing a video one time and there was a girl... basically crushed a kitten's head. It was some Japanese like fetish porn type thing. Not that I was watching it, someone else fucking put it up or sent me it or some shit. But
bite you.
But yeah. BuzzFeed videos. BuzzFeed, what are they like? They know how to make just shite content, don't they? This has 18 like, million hits.
There's Hi. Hello friend.
People who hate cats meet kittens.
Cats are just like, cats always hate me, so therefore I hate them back.
I don't like them. I don't like cats one bit.
Every cat I've met has a distinct dislike for me, so you know what? The feeling's mutual. I hate you.
Their claws are really creepy. We can all agree on that.
They do that little needy thing and it really hurts. Let's do this. They're probably not happy from being in a box. Oh my god!
People love putting puppies and cats in boxes, don't they?
Oh no.
Ah!
Oh, that was actually quite cute. Hello. Ah!
I don't know how to do cats. I don't know how to play with a cat.
I don't know what cats do.
My baby's more entertaining.
Tell me what's good about cats.
I feel like I'm on a first date that's not going well. Controlling them, I feel like a mom.
You're just gonna be like, all right, I'm done with you holding me. I'm gonna claw the shit out of your face right now. I feel like that's coming.
They may be cute.
This is early enough in the morning and I'm tired enough where I'm just like,
sweet.
I mean, this is mainly what the internet's about now. Just content, you know, just shareable, relatable, just middle of the road content. Like, I'm just watching this. Like,
turn on you.
He's kind of small and adorable, though.
Okay. I'm not even paying attention. I'm just looking at the computer screen right now.
I guess
cats are cute. aren't they? I remember one time I fell asleep. We had this fucking cat that, I don't know where the fuck it came from, but my sister, when we were younger, decided to call it Gucci. So you felt like such a fucking queen just shouting down the road, Gucci! Gucci! After this cat. And it was one of those ones where like it died, because we just took it in from somewhere, and the woman was like, oh yeah, that cat was like fucking 43 years old. And we're like, are you shitting me? I thought it was a kitten. She's like, no, it was old as fuck. But what had happened was, I had this, you know, those shitty IKEA, like, it's like a wardrobe slash chest of drawers type thing, but it's a big wooden frame, and then the drawers are these, like, material type things. So, pulling that out, it had come up and, like, squeezed in between one of the drawers of that, and was in there sleeping, and I went in, got in the bed, and sort of was half asleep, and just heard this movement in the room, and I knew it was a cat, but you know when you sort of half freak out too, and I heard it come out, and I heard it like, its wee nails go across the floor, and I heard it stop, and do like a little adjustment, like it was about to jump, and then I heard the nails hit one more time, and it jumped, and I just fucking volleyed it, and sure enough, it was a cat, and my foot was still on the blanket, you know, I didn't really, like, properly connect with it, but I just, like, poof, like, bumped it back on the floor. The coordination of a person who was essentially asleep was phenomenal, but they're a fucking pain in the hole. That's an hour and 11 minutes, guys. I'm going to have to cut this short, because I got to go, baby. Cheers for listening, and, you know, all the usual shit. Sign up to beer52.com. Let me run through the gigs one more time. They're on tomorrow the 15th at Lavery's Comedy Club, the storytelling show. Me, Shane Todd, fucking Paddy McDonald, Kieran Butler, there's a bunch of people, I forget, Roy Woods, no he's not on, Alan Irwin, I think so. Yeah, there's a load of people on. And then 17th to 18th we're in London. Tell all your friends about the 18th. And the 24th is the first gig on a Friday in Lavery's, so that's gonna be, as the children say, absolutely fucking epic. So I'll see you later. All right, guys, speak to you later. You fucking guns.